My name is Camila Salvagno. I am here conducting an oral history interview with Mayor Kamal Johnson. It is June 28th, 2025. We are at City Hall in Hudson, New York. Thank you, Kamal.
Thanks for having me.
Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yes, my name is Kamal Johnson. I'm the mayor of the city of Hudson. I've been the mayor since 2019, and officially took office in 2020, January 1st.
Thank you. I am visiting here from New York City, and this is my first time in Hudson, New York. Can you tell me, how is Hudson different now from when you were a child?
Yeah, Hudson is very much different now than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was a higher population, which ironically, it was a more close-knit community. Everybody, you know, hung out around their neighborhood. You started, your first best friends were the people who lived next to you. You know, the summer camps were filled with kids, the streets were filled with bikes and skateboards, and now it's a bit different. The population is decreased a lot. There's not that many families anymore like there used to be. You know, you barely have neighbors because of all the short-term rentals, and a lot of the family kind of functioning stores are replaced with antique stores and like high-end restaurants and you know, boutiques.
I just came from outside. We're on Warren Street. It's very active right now. Mm-hmm. It's a Saturday afternoon. Can you tell me a little bit about this tale of two cities?
Yeah, so from Monday to Wednesday, it's like a ghost town. And then, you know, Thursday it starts to pick up a little bit with tourism, but then the weekend Warren Street really picks up with tourism, and that's, you know, where you see a lot of people. It's tough because you have Warren Street, which is one of the most expensive you know, streets in the state. There's so many boutiques and stores with high-end products that people come from all over to buy. And then a half a block later, you'll see extreme poverty.
Can you say more about that? Those stark differences between Warren Street, what it attracts, and where day-to-day life is really unfolding for the people who make up this city?
Yeah, you know, on Warren Street, you'll buy a $16 coffee, and then right around the corner, there's probably someone trying to feed a family of three that makes $16 an hour. So it's tough when you have that amount of wealth and then that amount of poverty so close to each other. And the more and more Hudson gets popular, the more and more it, you know, makes people afraid about being here because they think they're going to be pushed out. And many have already been pushed out to, you know, the outskirts of the county or the capital region. And, you know, they no longer have the resources that they're accustomed to being in Hudson. And, you know, it's tough on families and individuals.
I failed to mention this at the start, but I'll take the chance now. I may hold space, but as you share and talk, mm-hmm. and you can use that space however you'd like. If you don't have more to share, that's fine. I think this is really an opportunity for you to share everything that you think is really meaningful. And if we should move on, I'll also look out for cues that you want to move
on.
But thank you for sharing that. I think for me, as someone who's visiting and has heard a lot about Hudson, particularly since 2020, mm-hmm. after the pandemic hit, it's really important for me to finally experience what I've heard so much about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to hear from you a little bit more about when you were elected mayor in 2019 and what that experience was like for you.
Yeah, so when I was elected mayor in 2019, when I ran, you know, I was super excited. I was seeing the city go in a direction that, you know, wasn't really fitting for families and individuals, people I grew up with. You know, I started seeing less opportunities. It wasn't affordable at all. So I ran, you know, on a platform to build housing here and affordable housing and to create initiatives and programs that could directly affect, you know, the people on the ground. Because one thing you hear, especially in communities of color, when you're out knocking on doors and talking to people is like, it doesn't matter, you know, who's in charge. You know, it's not going to change my life. It's not going to affect me. And, you know, after 2020 and COVID hit and the Trump administration, one and two, people started really seeing that, you know, local politics, federal politics, state politics, they all, you know, affect your everyday living. So that's something that I had to prepare for because I had a whole plan of things I wanted to do and how I wanted to do them. And then 3 months later, here I am, the youngest and the first black with already a spotlight on me. And we get a global pandemic right as I'm like getting accustomed to the job. And it was just like, there's no roadmap because no other mayor had to deal with such a, you know, emergency.
Yeah, I think when I learned that you had been elected in 2019 and took office in 2020, I just genuinely shook my head in disbelief because of exactly what you just named. Mm-hmm. Can you share more about what you intended to do when you were elected and how that changed given the circumstances?
Yeah, given the circumstances, I still was able to do what I wanted to do. Like, we started building housing, we created initiatives that, you know, have been talked about across the nation, you know, from right here in Little Hudson. But I just had to pivot on how we do things. Instead of focus on what I really wanted to focus on, safety became the number one priority. And then on top of COVID, we also had, you know, civil unrest. We had the death of George Floyd. We had protests and, you know, all of these things that kind of came into play. And I really had to take those on top of my own vision. And that was something that, you know, grew into a new life. So I had to take on police reform, which I, you know, was interested in anyway. You know, we looked at different programs and initiatives to help people who, you know, can't leave their homes during the crisis. And I think, you know, as a city, we really came together and I was proud of what, you know, my administration was able to do during that time.
You mentioned the pandemic. You mentioned being the youngest mayor to have ever been elected. You mentioned being the first black mayor of the city of Hudson. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Trump. Mm-hmm. How do you encourage your colleagues and constituents to become unified?
Yeah, I think that's the toughest thing to do because, you know, Trump won for a reason. He has, you know, he got more votes than the other person. So there are people with that ideology that he has. When I first got elected, I literally had to intervene in ICE raids. And, you know, I literally put human beings in my car to transport them to the church for a sanctuary. And, you know, I did these things without even hesitation or worrying about, you know, my reputation or the job, just because I wanted to protect our neighbors. And that's something that, you know, was happening when I'm just getting my feet wet. But, you know, I always figured I would be in this situation somehow and leadership. And, you know, I just wanted to not take it for granted and take it very serious.
today things might look a little bit different, but we're still living in the wake of these different crises and these unequal issues that impact others, impact some more than others. As mayor and as a parent, can you share values that you lead with?
Yeah, I mean, I take the job very personal because I have personal experiences with a lot of the issues, like mental health issues, substance abuse issues, incarceration, you know, all of these things, being homeless. I've been all of these things. You know, I'm one of four boys and the only one not to go to prison or not currently in prison. So when we talk about, you know, helping people come home from incarceration and not recidivate, you know, we mean it because, you know, I've seen it live in action, you know, personally. When we talk about mental health issues, you know, I'm someone that I'm very open about suffering from severe depression, so I get that. You know, it's hard for people to get help and hard for, you know, people just to live every day knowing that they're wired a different way than someone else. So I wanted to make sure during my time that I increased those services. I made, you know, efforts to make sure that it's easy for people to live. They have somebody to come to, and there's options out there. I think that is the biggest thing. We just lost four people in 8 days due to overdoses. And, you know, that's something that is extremely important to me because I knew all four of them. And they all were under the age of 40, and I had went to school with two of them. So, you know, during election day, that day and the next day, I went to two funerals. And, you know, to see people that I went to school with passing away, I was like, there's so much more that we have to do. Like, this is bigger than just a position and a job.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. I wondered about how you were feeling given the election was so recently. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about your current state of being? What are you feeling? What are you...
Yeah, I mean, the election was the election. You know, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. I think I've been here for a reason. Like, I have a purpose, and I'm looking forward to November election. I mean, this journey started for me when I was in 11th grade, and I was getting in a lot of trouble. I was getting kicked out of class all the time. And one day my English teacher pulled me aside and said, "You're like the mayor of the classroom. You know, this, the kids have to wait for everything you say. They have to hang on everything you do." And, you know, as a joke, I created a sign that said "Kamal for mayor" and hung it up in her classroom. And then, you know, 20 years later, I became the mayor of the city. So, you know, it shows that words matter and that, you know, I really had a purpose. So no matter how long my time is here, you know, I want to make it worth it because I was supposed to be here.
Thank you for sharing that. I think not many people can say they've had that experience.
And I actually got to tell that story for the first time 2 years ago in front of the school with the teacher in the crowd. So it was really cool. And I told them, I said, "You guys better go hang up stuff in her classroom before she retires. You better go put it all up there."
Can you share more about that experience?
Yeah, it was just like cool because, you know, when she told me that, I know she was just trying to tell me to like use my talents in a different way. I don't think she knew 20 years later I would be actually the mayor. So like when I became mayor and I saw her, I went to the school and like we just both smiled and laughed across the room. And then she pointed to the wall where my sign used to be. And I was like, yeah, it's insane. Like, it's like surreal. But it just goes to show that, you know, when you're talking to young people, your words, you know, are important. So many times we're, you know, downplaying what young people can be and, you know, not understanding that, you know, we have the power to point someone in the right direction.